What a blessing to have been here already this morning. I don't know if you realize it, but we've had three sermons already this morning, not two. We had a sermon on the church in the song service. Then we had a sermon on the Word of God and temptation. Then we had a sermon on speaking the truth in love. We've had three already today. How many more do you want? Well, we greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I want to welcome the visitors also that are with us today. God bless you. I'm not sure why you're here. I don't know what your expectations are. But we just trust that God brought you here today and that He wants to bless you and meet your needs as well as bless us and meet our needs. And that's been our prayer for you before the service began. Well, I'd like to speak on another weapon this morning. Brother Aaron gave us one. I'd like to give another one. I guess it's the morning for weapons. I'd like to preach on the subject, and I got the title from a little plaque that is in many of our homes. So I thought, that's a good title to have, to enlighten our hearts so that when we see the little plaque, it means more. Prayer changes things. We have that at our house. How many of you have that at your house on the wall somewhere? Prayer changes things. How many of you have seen it on the wall before? Okay, maybe you need to get one of those. Prayer changes things. And it does. Prayer is one of the most powerful forces that have been laid into the hands of God's people. It's prayer. I mean, you stop and ponder it a little bit this morning. Think about some of the things that have been done just in simply in answer to a man or a woman's prayer or the prayers of God's people. Think about some of the things that have happened. Yea, mountains have moved in answer to prayer. Winds have changed their direction of blowing in answer to prayer. Fires have stopped burning in answer to prayer. Fogs have lifted in answers to prayer. Souls have been saved in answer to prayer. Yes, prayer changes things. That's not just a little ditty that we put on the wall that makes our house look like a Christian house, but it's a powerful statement. Prayer, it does change things. In James chapter 5 is where we want to begin reading here this morning. When Jesus was speaking to His disciples there in John chapter 15, He told them that if they would abide in Him and that His Word would abide in them, they could ask whatever they will and it would be done unto them. Now that's a powerful promise that Jesus made there in John chapter 15. In 1 John chapter 5, the Scripture says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. That's a pretty powerful promise too, isn't it? Such a weapon that God has given to the people of God. Prayer. Prayer does change things. In James chapter 5 is where we want to read. And verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And, you know, there are so many different ways that you can approach the Scriptures and you just keep seeing new light every time you look at them. And so many times we kind of look at this, that portion that I just read by itself, because we often quote it that way. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. And we stop right there. But the verse goes on. And I'm sure there's some people around here that have some things in their lives that could use some healing. But the verse goes on and it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's all together in one verse. Look at the context of it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man changes much. That's what it's saying. Then it goes on to take us from our low level of living and takes us from our low level of believing God and says, talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Quite an answer to prayer. How many of you this morning believe that? Let me see your hands. You believe that. Elijah did that, and it happened. Elijah prayed, and he prayed earnestly. And he was a man of like passions, just like you and I are. But he prayed, and he prayed earnestly, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Awesome. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Beautiful verses for us. Prayer changes things. Elijah is a good example to every one of us that prayer changes things, isn't he? He looked around him, and he didn't like what he saw. And he saw that God's people had turned away from God. And he saw that the conditions were in very bad shape. He saw that the king had turned away from God. He saw that Jezebel had turned the people away from worshiping God. And it led the people to worship false gods. And he knew that these dumb idols were dumb. And they couldn't do a thing. He knew that. And he decided to change things. That's what he did. He decided, we're going to change things around here. This isn't right. And he began to pray. And I believe that he was motivated by God to pray these prayers, but he also had to be the one that said, I'm going to pray. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And God heard his prayer. And shut up the heavens. And it quit raining. And one day turned into 1 week. And 1 week turned into 1 month. And 1 month turned into 12, and then another year, and another year, and then another 6 months after that, before it rained again. I'm so glad God put that in the Bible, aren't you? Sometimes when we take a look at life circumstances, and we look around us, and we see the way things are, and many times it's not the way we'd like it, or we have some mountain that seems like it won't move, or we have some river that we have to cross, and we don't see how we're going to get across it, and we're facing things that we don't have answers to. I'm so glad that God put that in the Bible to motivate us and encourage us that prayer still does change things. So, we know the story, and I'm not going to go into a lot of the story this morning, but I think it's good for us to drop back in where he prays again. The prophets of Baal have been there. They've been jumping up and down. They've been screaming. They've been hollering. They've been cutting themselves. They've been doing everything they can to try to get Baal to bring fire down from heaven. Of course, we know. And Elijah knew that that Baal worship was nothing but devil worship, and he knew that the God of heaven sat on the throne of the universe and that he was in charge of everything. And this morning, brothers and sisters, he still sits on the throne of the universe and he's still in charge of everything.
Glory.
And Elijah knew that. So he let them go ahead and make their altar, and he let them make a fool out of themselves and jump around and dance and scream and holler, and he let them do all those things. And then it was his turn. And he built the altar. He said, put wood on the altar, and they did. And he said, put the sacrifice on the altar, and they did. And he said, now I want you to dig a trench around the altar, and they did. And he said, now pour water there. And they filled the trench up with water, and he said, go get some more water. And water was a pretty precious parcel in those days. Go get another bucket of water and dump it all over the altar. And I believe because he'd done his homework, after that he just simply said, Lord, would you hear my prayer and send fire on this sacrifice? And God answered by fire. And we know the story how that he then, after that, killed all the prophets of Baal and told the king, you better make your way back to Jerusalem because there's going to be rain. And he went up to the mountain and he started to pray. And he prayed not one time, not two times, but he prayed seven times. He bowed himself and put his face between his knees, and he bowed himself to the earth. And I believe that he prayed earnestly. He was one of those men, one of those righteous men. I believe he prayed effectual prayers. I believe he prayed fervent prayers, and his prayers availed. But they didn't avail right away. He prayed, and his servant went out and looked, and there was no sign of anything. And he came back and told him, and Elijah just continued to pray, and he looked again, and there was no sign, and not until the seventh time. And he said, there's just a little cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. And it rained. And it rained. Prayer that changes things. Probably most of you that are in this room this morning, pray. But are you praying prayers that change things? That's the question. Prayer that changes things. That's what we need. Prayer that changes people. Prayer that changes hearts. Prayer that changes children. Prayer that changes circumstances. Prayer that moves mountains. Prayer that changes things. That's what we need. Everyone here prays. You pray your prayers. You have your devotions. You gather your families together. All of us pray. But what we need to do is pray prayers that change things. Isn't that what we need? Well, what kind of prayers change things? That's real clearly given here in the Scriptures. It says here in James, and the last part of verse 16, that effectual prayers change things. Fervent prayers change things. And prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman change things. And then it goes on there and say that Elijah, he prayed earnestly. Those are the kind of prayers that change things. Those are the kind of prayers that when you see something and you look, excuse me, you look at it and you see it and you realize that here's something that's not right, that needs to be changed. Here's a circumstance, and we face them many times in our lives. We face something and we look at it and we say, now what can I do? And so many times it's things that we, our hands are really tied to. There's not much we can do. Oh, don't despair. If you find yourself in a situation facing something that you feel like your hands are tied and there's nothing you can do. You wish you could do something. If you could just get your hands on that situation and change it, you would, but you can't. That's when you need these kind of prayers. Effectual prayers. The word effectual in the Greek is energio. It's where we get our word energy. Amen. Energio. It's where we get our word energy. It means powerful, energizing, working prayers. Effectual prayers are prayers that work. Effectual prayers are prayers that have energy in them. Effectual prayers are prayers that have an effect when they are prayed. The word fervent means hot. It means boiling, fervent, something that's moving, something that's hot, something that's on fire. That's what fervent means. It means to strain or to stretch. Effectual, fervent prayer. What does the word prayer here mean? Well, in this text here, prayer is not the prayer that we pray maybe at family devotions, although I believe if you get a grasp of this message, it might change your family devotions. And maybe that's what we need. But the word prayer here means beggings, the supplications. And you get the picture of a beggar. And a beggar doesn't ask one time, you know that. If you see a beggar on the side of the street, a beggar is a beggar. He begs and begs and begs and begs. And that's what the word prayer here means. And a righteous man is one who is in right standing with God, who has a right life, and who is in right relationship with others. This is a righteous man that is speaking about here in this scripture. He's one who has his relationship with God clear. And number two, he's one who also has his life clear. He's a righteous man or a woman. And number three, he's one or she's one who has their relationships clear this way. Oh, look out for that one. Look out for that man. Look out for that woman. When they get a hold of this matter of effectual and fervent beggings before God, you look out for that one. And the devil does too, you can be sure of that. And the last word in the little text here is availeth. And that word avail means to prevail or to overcome or to get the job done. Results. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it gets the job done. It prevails. You know that word prevail? It's the same word that is used there in the book of Revelation where John was saying we needed somebody to open the book and loose the seals thereof, and no man was found in heaven or earth, and John even wept because he couldn't find anybody. And all of a sudden, I think it was one of the elders there who said to John, "John, don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed." Well, there we get an idea what prevail means when we look at the context of that verse right there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. Oh, he conquered. And that's what the word availeth much means. So if we could just paraphrase it a little bit here, here's what the verse is saying. The effectual, powerful, energizing, working, hot, boiling, stretching, straining, prayer or beggings or supplications of a righteous man who walks with God and lives right with others prevails, overcomes, and changes things. That's what the verse is saying. And this morning, that's what God is saying to us. We sit here this morning. We're all in different places in our Christian life. I don't know what you face. You may not know what I face. But God knows exactly what each and every one of us face. And I think if we're all honest, we would all have to say, I need answers to prayers like that this morning. I think if all of us are honest, we would have to say that. And God answers those kind of prayers. They work. They avail much. They change things. Well, prevailing prayers are prayers that obtain the blessing. Anybody need a blessing this morning? Prevailing prayer, prayers that get the answer. You need an answer? They're prayers that get the answer. Prevailing prayers are prayers that get through. Prevailing prayer, prayers that move God. Prevailing prayers are prayers that affect the object. We need these kind of prayers in our homes. We need them in our own personal lives. We need them in our work situations. We need them with some of the decisions that we need to make. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of prayers that we need to pray. You have a decision. You need to make a decision. Someone came to me recently and said, Brother, pray for me. I have a rough decision to make. I'm trying to decide if I should quit my job and move to another area of the country. Brother, you need my prayers. If that's a decision that you need to make, you need to pray prevailing prayers until you get an answer for that one. Someone says, Brother, pray for me. I'm considering a young lady for a wife. My brother, you need some of those kind of prayers. You need to hear from heaven. You need to seek the face of God till you hear the voice of God telling you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes, amen. Get the counsel of your parents. Get the counsel of wise leaders around you. But hear from heaven on that one. Young ladies alike. These are the kind of prayers we need to pray. But oh, so many times, and you know it's true. Just pray a little prayer and lean on somebody else's counsel. No, don't just lean on somebody else's counsel. You hear from heaven. The fires are going to burn in your young married life. And the fires are going to burn as the days go by. And you need to know that you heard from heaven that this is to be my wife. This is to be my husband. Hear from heaven. Prevailing prayers are prayers that get answers. They get through. Well, what is a prevailing prayer? I'd like to note a few things here this morning. Prevailing prayer is a prayer that has a definite object. If we could just go back to the text here in James chapter 5 and note this. That a prevailing prayer is a prayer that has a definite object. Elijah had a definite object in mind. He wanted it to not rain. And he prayed specifically that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. A definite object. Something specific, not a general prayer. Prevailing prayers, prayers that change, prayers that move mountains are not general prayers. We know that, don't we? Prayers that move mountains are prayers with specific things in mind. God, I've got a mountain here that I can't move. Would you please move it for me? I've got a situation here that I don't have an answer to. Would you give me an answer to this, Lord? I've got a daughter. I've got a son who is not going in the right way. Lord, would you do something about this for me? Prayers that are specific. Elijah prayed a specific prayer. And God answered in a specific answer and stopped up the heavens and it didn't rain anymore. Sometimes I think we're afraid to be specific. You know, if you get specific and then God doesn't answer, then you have to deal with that. What do you do then? What do you say then? Well, God didn't answer me. Why not? One of the most life-changing experiences you could ever go through is to need God to move a mountain and to not stop until God moves it. One of the most life-changing things you'll ever go through. Because it purifies. You have to say, Lord, why didn't you move this mountain yet? Elijah prayed for a revolution, and he got one. Daniel prayed for a revelation, and he got one. Nehemiah prayed for a restoration, and he got one. What do you need to pray for? Prevailing prayers, they have a definite object. What do you need? Secondly, prevailing prayer is prayer that's in the will of God. Oh, what a confidence, isn't it? Let's turn over there to that verse in 1 John chapter 5. And the exact word is used. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Prayer, prevailing prayer is prayer that is in the will of God. What a confidence that puts within our soul when we begin to pray something that we know is the will of God because it's in the Word of God. It's a revealed will of God because it's been revealed in the Word of God. And we pray for that and we ask God to do that. And we know, we have a confidence, it says here in 1 John. This is a confidence that we have. If we pray in the will of God, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. I'd just like to stretch you a little this morning. Stretch you into a prayer life that maybe you've not prayed before. Prevailing prayer is in the will of God. Revealed by the Word of God and yea, sometimes revealed by the Spirit of God. That this is the direction to go and that this is the way to pray. We go back to Elijah again and see this. That Elijah, he prayed in the will of God. And God answered his prayer. I'd like us also to notice that prevailing prayer is prayer with a deep desire. These aren't just general little prayers that are prayed. Oh Lord, bless the church today. Lord, bless my children today. Lord, guide me today. Help me today. No, we're not talking about those kind of prayers as we speak about these prayers that are mentioned in James chapter 5. We're talking about prayers that are prayed with a deep desire, a deep longing in the soul. There's a There's something about a prayer like that it's a burden. It's a longing. It's a prayer like Jacob prayed. I will not let thee go until you bless me. It's a prayer like that. It's a prayer like Moses prayed. Lord, blot my name out of the book. If you will not pardon these people, then blot my name out of the book. Prevailing prayers are prayers that are prayed with deep desire, like it says about our Lord Jesus there in the book of Hebrews, that He prayed with strong crying and tears. He prayed prayers with a deep desire in them. And many times, our prayers are not answered because we don't see the urgency of that which we're praying for. Yes, you can get up on Sunday morning and you can say, God, bless the service this morning. Or you can get up on Sunday morning and you can cry out to God with the depth of your soul, with a great desire, with a vehement desire, with a longing that goes from deep within you. You can cry out to God that He would bless the service this morning. You can do either one of those. But I can tell you this morning, and I think all of us would agree, we know which ones will bring the blessing down. Just like the old song says, pray, pray in the old time way, the way they used to pray, when they brought God's blessing down. The old time way. Recently, someone shared with me, a sister shared with me, or with my wife, I guess, her family's first visit to the fellowship here. It was years ago. We were still meeting in the basement over in New Holland. It was right in the middle of a revival that God was giving to us. And the sister said her first visit almost scared them from ever coming back, because they happened to look in the window as they walked in the door to come to church, and they looked down there in the window and they saw a bunch of people flat out on their faces begging God. And it scared them. They weren't used to seeing that. But brothers and sisters, that's how you move God. I don't understand all that. But I don't have to understand it. I just know what the Bible teaches. Effectual, fervent prayers change things. Do you have anything that needs to be changed? Prayers with a deep desire. My mind goes to the illustration of John Knox, who was a preacher in Scotland many, many years ago. He got so burdened for revival in Scotland. He used to go up on a hillside and pray. And he'd pray until he couldn't pray anymore. And then he'd go back to his work. And then he'd find himself again up there on that hillside looking out over a major city there. I don't know if it was Edinburgh. I don't remember the full story about it. But he would go up there and he would pray. And he was praying effectual prayers. And he was praying fervent prayers. And he was praying prayers that had a deep desire in them. And finally one night, as he was praying over the land of Scotland, he cried out to God with everything that was in him. And he said, God, give me Scotland or I die. And what he was saying was, Lord, would you send a revival to Scotland? If you don't do it, I think I'm going to die. That's a prayer with a deep desire in it. And revival broke out in Scotland. And Mary, Queen of Scotland, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of France. Hallelujah. I'm more afraid of John Knox than I am all the armies in France, because John Knox prays. Recently, heard a message, and it was a good message on prayer. And here was the title: When Your Prayer Becomes a Cry. When Your Prayer becomes a cry. And the whole point of the message was simply this. When you get to the place where you're not just praying your little prayer anymore, but your prayer becomes a cry, that there's a longing down in your soul, that there's a cry that comes from deep within that God would do something. Hear the words of the song and also of the psalm that we often sing here. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61. I believe it's Psalm 55 that says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Psalm 55 says, effectual prayers, prevailing prayers, are fasting prayers. Jesus said to His disciples, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And there's something about fasting that causes prayers to prevail. There's something about fasting over a certain situation that causes the prayers to become more earnest. It causes the prayers to become more definite, more focused in on one thing. And Jesus even told His disciples as they asked Him, Lord, why couldn't we cast the devil out of this one who is tormented? And Jesus simply said, this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. You don't just pray a prayer on this one. You pray and you fast and you seek the face of God, and then this kind comes out. Prevailing prayer many times is a fasting prayer. And a fasting prayer is a prayer that is prayed out of a heart that is fasting. It comes up out of the heart of one who has stopped the belly from being satisfied. And a day goes by, and another day goes by, and your fast becomes a prayer, brothers and sisters. And your heart becomes burdened about that which you're fasting over. And you enter into a stage of prayer where your very heart is continually praying over this one thing. And those kind of prayers that are focused, that are definite, that are burdened, that are willing to go without food to see something happen, those kind of prayers, God does something with those. Fasting intensifies prayer. Fasting brings our focus in. Fasting purifies prayer. Prevailing prayers also prayers that have right motives. James chapter 4 says, sometimes you ask, but you don't have what you ask because you ask amiss. You ask it that you may consume it on your own lust. You ask it for wrong motives. You ask it for this reason, and you ask it for that reason, and you ask it amiss. And therefore, God doesn't answer. But a prevailing prayer is a prayer with right motives. And many times as we begin to pray about something, we may not even realize what some of our motives are. But if we'll persevere and we'll set ourselves to pray until we get an answer for that which we're praying, then God can come down and minister to our heart and reveal maybe a wrong motive in our heart, that we can deal with it and continue on in prayer until God answers. Brothers and sisters, did you ever pray through? Do you know what it means to pray through? That means you pray until you got an answer. You pray until you got a witness from God. Everything's going to be all right. Trust me. Do you know what it is to pray through? You may not believe in that, but that's what Elijah did. That's what he did. He prayed until he got an answer. That's what Jesus did. It was time to choose 12 apostles. And he went off into the hills and into the mountains for the night, and he spent the night there in prayer, and he prayed through. And he got an answer from his Father. And then he came down and chose the apostles. Many times our prayers are wrong motives. Women pray for their husbands, but only that life would get a little easier for them. Not a good enough motive. Parents pray for their children, but only that the troubles at home would stop. Not a good enough motive. But when we set ourselves to pray till we see an answer to our prayer, then God can purify our motives. And many times we have to say, Lord, what's wrong? And then God can move in and say, here's what's wrong. Here's a problem. Here's a need in your life. Here's something that you need to deal with yourself. And then you can go on and pray again. Prevailing prayer is prayer that is moved by the Spirit. If we could turn to Romans just for a moment there. Romans chapter 8. Prayer that is moved by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Prevailing prayers need to be Spirit-directed prayers, where you sense the Spirit of God leading you to pray in this direction. So many times we don't even know what to pray, and we don't know how to pray for a situation, but thanks be unto God this morning that we just don't pray by ourselves, that God has given us of His Spirit, and the Spirit of God can move upon our hearts and direct us in the way that we should pray. And sometimes you'll find yourself praying prayers that you don't even understand. They're just like the Scripture says, they're prayers of groanings that can't even be uttered. Can't even express them with our words. But they're being led by the Spirit of God. Prevailing prayers. Prayers that are motivated by the Spirit of God. And yea, prayers that originate in heaven. Energized by God's Spirit. In revival days, prayers flow out of God's people. And the reason why prayers flow out of God's people during revival days is because God's people have gotten into a relationship where the heaven is open over their lives, and they've gotten in tune with the Spirit of God. And when God's people get in tune with the Spirit of God, they begin to pray Spirit-directed prayers. And there are multitudes of prayers that God wants to pray among His people, but His people are not in tune with His Spirit. And therefore, the prayers don't get prayed. But when revival breaks out, and we know it's so, all of a sudden, people who were not prayer warriors before become prayer warriors. And all of a sudden, they can pray. They can go into their closet and pray for an hour and come out, an hour later feeling like 5 minutes went by. And it's because those prayers are Spirit-directed prayers. And God is longing to pray through His people. They just get in tune so that they can pray Spirit-directed prayers. And we know, brothers and sisters, we know that Spirit-directed prayers are prayers that change things because they come from heaven. Recently read an article about R.A. Torrey, who's a man who went around the world preaching. He was a disciple of D.L. Moody. Kind of sat at the feet of D.L. Moody and after Moody passed off the scene, seems like he picked up the mantle somewhat and kept on going. But he gives the account in a book about a time when he and several others were together praying, and God just began to move upon him, and the Spirit of God began to move upon him to pray, and he began to pray, and he prayed things that he didn't even understand. He prayed for the souls of men in China, and he prayed for the souls of men in India, and he prayed for the souls of men in Germany, and he just prayed all over the world. His heart just went out for the souls over there that were lost, and over there in Germany, and over there in Africa, and he just prayed his way around the world, and he was just in awe, and he didn't understand what was going on, only to find out a few weeks later that God touched his heart and sent him to China and to Germany and to India and to Thailand and to Hong Kong and to many other places in the world, and multitudes of souls were gathered into the kingdom because of it. Spirit-directed prayers are prayers that change things. Prevailing prayer is persevering prayer. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 and look a little bit here. Persevering prayer. Here's where many fail. They lose out on their answers because they do not persevere. And they do not prevail because they do not persevere. They give up. Look at Luke 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So here we have it right here, right before us. "He spake a parable with this end in mind, that he might teach those that were with him there, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't give up. So he's going to give us a parable that will teach us that in our prayer lives, we should always pray and not give up. "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And this parable spake he to teach us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We give up. We quit. In fact, those who have prevailed would be the first to tell you that most people give up just before the light dawns. Isn't that right? Because it's always darkest just before the dawn and they give up. "But this parable spake he to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Pray through. Get an answer. Wonder how many praying mothers could give us a testimony this morning if we were to go and look for them. Praying mothers who had a wayward son who prayed. I mean, they prayed. I've heard of praying mothers who took their wayward son's shoes out of the closet, took them into their little prayer closet, set the shoes down there in the middle of the floor, fell on their face and began to weep. And they prayed over their son for their wayward daughter. And they prayed until they had an answer. Illustration comes to my mind of James Stewart, who was a revivalist, an evangelist, used of God in, in the Eastern European Bloc countries before World War II, used of God. But when he was 14 years old, he was a soccer player. He was good. He was a professional. And everybody's eyes were on him. I'm going to make this guy famous. He's a good soccer player. But there's only one thing they didn't account for. He had a godly mother at home who prayed. And she prayed until she heard from heaven that everything's going to be all right. And then she didn't pray anymore. Then she just waited. And the days went by. And the weeks went by. And all of a sudden, one night, as James was out on the soccer field playing, conviction hit that boy so bad he could hardly kick the ball around. And he made it through the game. And when the game was over, he fell on his face out there at the end of the soccer field and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he ran home to tell his mom because he knew mom will be so excited to find out that I sold out to Jesus. And he went in there and he ran home and he came into his mom's house and said, Mama, I want to tell you something. And she said, I already know, James. What do you mean you already know? I heard from heaven 2 weeks ago, James. And I already made an appointment for you to give your testimony tonight. And that young fella at 14 years old was out on the street corners with one of those dumb signs, you know, that people don't like to wear. Gospel signs, walking up and down the street, preaching to all the people in, I think it was Scotland is where he lived, 14 years old. Prevailing prayer is persevering prayer. Prevailing prayer is also travailing prayer. And here's where we lose out sometimes. We're not willing to travail. Paul said in, I believe it's Romans 15, let's turn over there, Romans 15 and 30. Yes, Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Interesting little verse. Read it again. Now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive means agonize. The Greek word is the word that we get our word agonize from, or agony. And Paul is saying here, I want you, brethren, to agonize together with me in prayer for me. That's what he was saying. Prayer is agony. Prayer is painful. Prayer is work. Prayer is sweat. Oh, the testimony comes to my mind of dear David Brainerd, who agonized for the Indians in this part of the country many, many years ago, back in the 1700s. He prayed for the Indians. He was a young man, and he was sent to be a missionary to the Indians, and he prayed for the Indians, and He knew what we were talking about here this morning. He prayed these kind of prayers, and he was burdened about the Indians, and many times he would go out at night, and it was snowy outside, but he would go out into the woods to pray, and he would pray out in the middle of the night when snow was falling, and he would be sweating because of his prayers, because his prayers were agonizing prayers. He was striving over the Indians. He was laboring before God. He was travailing to see God do something in the hearts and lives of those Indians. And God did something in the hearts and lives of those Indians. A year and a half after he came to minister to the Indians, what used to be big powwow services where the Indians were dancing around and worshiping the Great Spirit, and in drunken stupors, all of a sudden the Spirit of God fell on that place and it became a church service, and the Indians started getting converted one after another after another. But David Brainerd knew what prayer was all about, and he knew that prayer that changes things is agonizing prayer. It's not just a general prayer. It's not just the lay me down to sleep prayer. It's not a Lord bless me prayer. It's a prayer that agonizes. When Zion travailed, she brought forth, it says in Isaiah. When Zion travailed, she brought forth. Paul said, I travail in birth pangs till Christ be formed in you, speaking to the Galatians. I travail with birth pangs to see Christ formed in you. Ephesians chapter 6, hear the words. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this earth, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But look at the word that Paul used. He said, wrestle. Wrestle. And that word wrestle in the Greek, it means wrestle. It means fight. It means sweat. It means energy. It means strain. And Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, but praise God, we do wrestle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Oh, we wrestle. Turn to Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 4. And verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you. I like Epaphras. He is quite a testimony in a sentence. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras labored fervently. Prayer is labor. Work. Put in an hour of fervent prayer. You'll find out. It's work. It's labor. It's striving. It's straining. It's travailing. But it changes things. As one, I believe it was a sister, said one time, I never heard Daddy pray until Mama got sick. Then I heard Daddy pray. Yes. Then Daddy prayed. Oh, did Daddy pray when Mama got sick? We know what an effectual, fervent prayer is, every one of us here. It has emotion in it. It has zeal in it. It has voice in it. Sometimes it even has a loud voice in it. It has tears in it. It has earnestness in it. It has strain in it. It has sweat in it. We know that. All of us do. And if we stood beside a bed of a dying wife or one of our children, every one of us would know exactly what to do. Nobody would have to teach you how to pray an effectual, fervent prayer. Nobody would have to show you. You wouldn't have to call on the local prayer warrior in the church to show you how, what kind of a prayer you need to pray because your little girl or your little boy or your wife is about to die. You wouldn't have to call anybody on the telephone and say, "Brother, come over and show me how to pray." You'd know how to pray because the situation would be urgent and you'd need no training at all. Well, that's the way God wants us to pray. He don't want us to wait till Susie's about to die. That's the way God wants us to pray. Oh, a praying church is a weapon in God's hand against the enemy. The enemy hates it. Turn a church loose in righteousness, making war against the devil in fervent prayer, and the devil will get upset. Lastly, prevailing prayer is believing prayer. Mark 11. I know, we know these verses. I know, we've probably heard some of it already. Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 19 is where we want to read. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. We know that story. Christ wanted fruit from the fig tree. He went there. There was no fruit. He cursed the tree. He came back the next morning and saw the tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." What an awesome thing to say. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, that's what it says. I think we ought to just believe it. I believe the Bible, don't you? That's what it says. I think we ought to just believe it. Believing prayer. Bold, believing prayer. You know the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and wanted him to heal her daughter? That's a very interesting account too. She came begging Jesus to heal her daughter, and Jesus put her off. It seems at first when you read it, he's being insensitive. But he wasn't. And sometimes when we ask God for something and he doesn't give it, sometimes we think God's being insensitive too, but he isn't. He wants us to desire it with all of our heart. And she came and she asked him, Lord, would you heal my daughter? And he said, no. I can't give the food to the dogs. You're a Gentile. She was a Gentile. Oh, she quickly turned around. Her faith wasn't wavered one bit by that. She turned around and said, yea, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And that made the Lord happy. And he said, be it unto your faith, and healed the daughter. And then he turned around to the disciples and said, by the way, disciples, that's great faith. That's great faith. You see, we've got this thing mixed up sometimes. We think if we ask God and God doesn't give it, then God doesn't want to give it. But God, we think it's unbelief to come and ask again. But here, Jesus said, that's great faith. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She just kept on begging. She just kept on asking. And she believed that God would do it. Prevailing prayer is believing prayer. Well, how is it? You have an answer? You need an answer? And you don't have it. You need to know what to do, and you're not sure what to do. You have a problem, and you don't know how to deal with it. You have a circumstance in your life, and you're not sure what to do with it. You have a soul you're burdened about, and you don't know what to do. Here's what to do. Pray through, my brother. Pray through. Pray through, sister. Pray through. Get an answer from heaven for that need that you have. Don't sit in complacency and say, what can I do? Pray through. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and don't let go. Pray through for that need. That situation that you find yourself in. Young person, the same for you. Facing a battle, facing a temptation, pray through. You don't know what to do next? Pray that thing through. Lock yourself in a room somewhere. And get a hold of God. And don't stop until you get an answer. Think of the illustration there in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 12 or no. Where Peter was thrown in jail. And prayer was made unto God by the church without ceasing, it says in the Bible. They just got him out of jail. They just prayed him out of jail. Effectual. Powerful. Active. Hot. Boiling. Straining. Prayers of begging and supplications. They prevail. They overcome. They see an answer. They get the job done. Yes, the little plaque on the wall is true. Prayer changes things. We change it. We have it at our house. We change it. Prayer changes children, I think we put on there. But it doesn't matter what you put down there. Prayer changes things. What do you have that needs to be changed today? That's the challenge. That's the challenge to each one of us. Shall we kneel together in prayer?
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.